VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here as we seek to keep you informed on a number of critical issues. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a groundswell of attacks taking place across our nation. I mean, there are attacks against our freedom of speech, the free exercise of religion. There's attacks on morality. There's an attack on women's sports, attacks on privacy, and the list goes on and on. But there's an area that we're going to be focusing in on today, and it's an attack on the Second Amendment of the Constitution. It's a rather short amendment, but it has great meaning. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's part of the Bill of Rights. It was adopted 231 years ago yesterday, June 15th of 1790. Well, joining us to discuss this attack, we welcome back Michael Hammond, the Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America. Michael, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Jim. Hello, America.
Yes, and Michael, just before we get into some of the Second Amendment issues, some significant things have been going on with the G7. Today has been a multi-hour meeting between President Biden and President Putin of Russia. Any comments on what's going on over there and its significance for us here?
Well, as you know, I have a long interest in Eastern Europe. In 87, the Solidarity Trade Union came into our meeting and asked if we, and specifically I, would provide the money in order to rebuild them. At that point, they were sort of withering on the vine for lack of resources. And so I said yes. We got Congress to give them about $3 million. We got Congress to say that if the government did as it did in 1980 and began arresting Solidarity leaders, we would cut off all trade and all aid to Poland. And finally, I went over in August of 88 and called for the overthrow of the government at a time when Solidarity was also striking. And the government declared a state of emergency, and basically out of that maelstrom, and with the help of Almighty God, came the elections, which deposed the communist government in Poland and replaced it with a free state, a free, pro-life, pro-Christian state, I might add. And so I have an interest in that area. We're in a very, very dangerous situation now. President Putin, who was meeting with Joe Biden today, has just outlawed the opposition after trying to first poison them and then imprison them. His closest ally, the head of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, has just hijacked a plane in order to seize a journalist, arrest him, and perhaps try him for capital crimes, which would result in the death penalty. We have Russian hackers currently shutting down United States pipelines, and we have the Russian Federation trying to reconstruct the Soviet Union, first of all, by annexing Belarus as a result of this hijack incident, and secondly, by annexing parts of Ukraine, including Crimea. So there are a whole lot of things which Biden had on his agenda, supposedly, to take care of. My guess is that none of them got taken care of, notwithstanding his note cards, which I'm sure were very carefully written. I mean, the meeting started out with an awkward moment in which no one knew anything to say. Just a long, awkward silence. And it's not unexpected, given that Biden was saying face-to-face with a guy whom he had, I think, improvidently called a murderer and was now expecting stuff out of him.
Yeah.
So, long, awkward silence. I guess Putin finally broke the ice. It's a very, very dangerous situation now, and it's doubly dangerous to have Biden over there face-to-face.
Yeah, and it got his no cards, and there are times, even at the G summit, it appeared that he was doing pausing as he was like listening to an earpiece and reciting something or getting notes on his computer or something of that nature. And you made reference to having his 3x5 cards, his note cards with him. He's not being viewed even by other nations as having any sort of strength that this nation has been known for.
I think that the other nations are looking at Biden just as the American people are and wondering how much is left there. I mean, a good day for Joe Biden is when he doesn't fall down the steps. Hmm. So it's a dangerous situation with Russia, and particularly with Belarus, and we're looking very carefully at whether we can try to play the same card with Belarus that we did with Poland. I mean, as a result of the dominoes collapsing in 1988, there are now 25 new countries which are members of the United Nations, which did not exist in 1987. By and large, that's a very, very good thing. But right in the heart of Europe, there's a Stalinist dictator who's been in power since 1994 and is now doing things like hijacking airplanes.
Mm-hmm. Michael Hammond with us here today. Come back here domestically, and we're going to look at some of the attacks taking place. I know you were not surprised when these attacks were launched by the Biden administration, because this is something Joe Biden promised as he ran for president. He was going to be attacking the Second Amendment, and indeed, that's what we're seeing take place.
Yeah, what's doubly funny is that the National Public Radio people are spending the day having interviews with this Columbia, I think, law professor who's now attacking the right to assert a constitutional right.
My.
And so not only are they attacking the rights themselves, they're attacking people who mention the Constitution and who try to invoke it in order to secure our rights.
Mm-hmm.
The Second Amendment, well, I think that we could have expected that with Joe Biden. He has not liked guns particularly all along. And at this point, the good news is that our efforts, the efforts of Gun Owners of America, the efforts, I think, of Christians to preserve the filibuster, has thus far kept most of the nasty things Joe Biden wants to do from ever happening. So thus far.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is watching Biden and Democratic leader Chuck Schumer try to manipulate the swing vote, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, mm-hmm. into voting to eliminate the filibuster by, for instance, offering to bring up Manchin's own anti-gun bill. So Schumer and Biden are saying to the swing vote, look, you either vote to blow up the filibuster and eliminate our Republican system of government, or we will allow the filibuster to kill your beloved gun control bill. Manchin, to his credit, has said, I no longer support that bill. I support something else. And it's a good thing, too. The bill they want to bring up in June in order to blow up the filibuster would what's called create a universal background check. That means if you want to give your gun to your son-in-law, if you want to sell your gun to your son, if you want to sell your gun to your lifetime next-door neighbor, you have to travel into the nearest town and see the nearest federal firearms licensee and get the federal government to check your transaction and approve the transaction.
Mm.
This has a lot of ramifications. The first is, if you have to have a background check, you have to fill out a form called a 4473. It contains your name, address, and the gun you have. We know that the government is coming around and photographing those forms and creating a national gun registry. So if everyone has to get a background check, everyone has their name on the national gun registry. So when the upcoming, defeated, but I'm afraid not defeated, nominee for to head BATF, David Chipman, uses illegal regulatory maneuvers to outlaw 15 million AR-15s. They know exactly who has them. They know exactly whose address to come around to at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, what is the status of his nomination?
Thus far, it's still teetering. I think Joe Manchin has said he will vote for him if nothing else comes out about the guy. I don't know what else needs to come out about the guy, given that he gave an interview after the Waco Branch Davidian incident and said that women and children deserve to be burned to death, notwithstanding they were innocent. Under the circumstances, I mean, you look at the guy and say, he's nuts. Exactly what more do you need to defeat his nomination? I am terrified that squishes, the Joe Manchins, the Kyrsten Sinemas are going to say, well, this is a bone that we can throw Joe Biden. And if that happens, we need to fear the fact that the police are going to be arriving at our house at 3 in the morning if we have one of those 15 million guns. And that creates a situation which I don't want to exaggerate. It seems to me very much like Germany after Kristallnacht.
Michael Hammond with us today, Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America. And by the way, I don't think it's any accident that Joe Biden nominated and named the wife of Joe Manchin to a position, to a commission, a federal commission. I find that kind of interesting. That happened.
Yeah, how slimy is that?
Yeah. We're not seeing any proposal come forth, Michael, that says this hereby dictates that the Second Amendment is abolished. Rather, we're seeing the camel's nose in the tent, incrementally bring down the Second Amendment. And there are several things I'd like to bring up with you. We'll get into the program. We have this new rule being proposed by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF, that is targeting homemade firearms. Comment on that, if you would.
That's so patently illegal. Well, first of all, the reason we're not seeing legislation saying the Second Amendment is abolished is not because this administration would not like to do that. It's because the judges Trump has appointed, particularly the Supreme Court, are sufficiently pro-gun. They realize that that would be thrown out on its ear.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a whole agenda that Nancy Pelosi has gotten approved that's just hung up in the Senate over the filibuster, and which is probably, even if it were passed into law, would not survive judicial scrutiny. Now, the two things that Biden has done by regulation is to ban, quote, ghost guns, close quote.
Okay, let's come up with that right after the break here. We'll talk about these two initiatives so far. Michael Hammond with us today from Gun Owners of America, and we'll be back in 1 minute here as we talk about the Second Amendment being targeted here by the Biden administration. So more to come. You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast do stars change from one type of star into another?
Chris, evolutionists are fond of saying that changes in stars take millions of years to occur. But it's important to remember that they've never seen stars do anything for millions of years. And yet sometimes we do see stars undergo dramatic change quickly. Recently, a star was observed to change in only a few years from a white dwarf star about the size of the Earth to a giant star 80 times wider than the Sun, an increase in volume of over 500 million. Evolutionists used to insist that such changes took long periods, but when we see it happen rapidly. Evidently, the biblical doctrine of recent creation of all things is accurate. Back to Genesis, that's the view that fits the facts.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Michael Hammond is with us today, Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America. Their website, gunowners.org, gunowners.org. Michael, we were talking about a couple of initiatives that have been taken by the Biden administration that Brake kind of interrupted our conversation there. Yep. So let's comment on those initiatives.
Yeah, the first is the ghost guns. I'm not going to use that term again. The left has become very adept at using nomenclature and trying to substitute it for policy. These are like make-your-own gun kits. By and large, the people who buy them are people in South Dakota who want to put together their own gun in their basement. To my knowledge, there's never been any major incident in which they have used to create a significant crime. Instead, they have owned by the most law-abiding people in the country. But the administration and the gun control people who move their puppet strings in New York City have decided that if they take make-your-own kits and call them ghost guns, they have succeeded in convincing New Yorkers that guns are very scary, and in addition, they will try to convince everyone else that ghosts are very scary, and that if scary ghosts come at you carrying guns, that's doubly scary. So taking something which is of no danger to anyone, which has never been used in significant crime, and banning it because they think they can convince the American people to go along with it by changing the name.
What's the second initiative?
The second initiative is the pistol brace. What that is a piece of plastic and foam rubber which is used to stabilize a handgun and allow you to fire more accurately. To my knowledge, also, this has never been used in major crime. And the interesting thing is this. Gun Owners of America has just brought a suit about another piece of plastic and foam rubber that the government tried to say was a machine gun. It was called a bump stock. And the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms promulgated this regulation that said this piece of plastic and foam rubber is a machine gun, therefore we can ban it, seize it, confiscate it. That went up. We took, the Gun Owners of America took that case up to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeal in Cincinnati, who said, and I'm paraphrasing a little, what are you, idiots? A machine gun is a machine gun, and a piece of plastic is a piece of plastic. The two are not the same thing. This regulation is foolish and therefore is overturned. So now the Biden administration says, we'll take another piece of plastic and foam rubber and call it a short-barreled rifle. My guess is, I'm quite sure, as a matter of fact, the courts are going to treat the current effort with the same derision that they treated the previous effort, and that Joe Biden is going to find out that his two regulatory initiatives are thrown out on their ear by the federal courts.
Yeah, I know Mr. Biden has complained that these make pistols more accurate. He did call it a mini rifle. I understand, though, that they're looking at a rather significant tax for those who would have a stabilizing brace. And then, as you point out,
yes. The same reason is if you declared bump stocks a machine gun. Once you declare something a short-barreled rifle or declare something a machine gun, all of a sudden you're under a 1934 Roosevelt-era law that imposes a massive tax on you that requires a six-month background check, and that probably means that in the meantime your gun is going to be confiscated. In effect, all of these pieces of plastic are being called machine guns or something equivalent to machine guns under the Roosevelt era law. And that I don't think that's going to work. I think we defeated them once. I think we'll defeat them again. It must be very frustrating to Biden that he ran with the support of people who want to eliminate the Second Amendment, and instead the Second Amendment in places like Southern California is advancing under the purview of federal courts who, for once, respect the Constitution rather than having contempt for it.
Yes, and we'll get to that here in just a moment, but with these braces, these stabilizing braces, any idea about how many there are, how many gun owners would be impacted by this?
I don't know. I suspect hundreds of thousands. The same as bump stocks. When you have an unregulated piece of equipment, there is no easy way to know how many people have them because they're as yet unregulated. That's what Biden would do, suddenly bring them under very, very strict regulation.
There's another move coming from the Department of Justice to allow somebody to make a complaint, to go to a judge based upon how they feel or how they think, who could have the guns removed from a targeted individual. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's the red flag law. Basically, either it depends on the specific state, the specific law, but either a neighbor or a certain relative or perhaps a school administrator or certainly the police can look at you and say, I think you're dangerous, and therefore I'm going to fill out an affidavit. It won't necessarily have any substantiated facts in it, but it will include my opinion that you are a dangerous person for some reason or another. I don't like you, for instance. And I will submit that to a judge. If the judge agrees to it, you're not going to find out about it until the police show up at your house at 3 a.m. And it's never 3 p.m. It's always the middle of the night. The police show up, and if, as Gary Willis in Ferndale, Maryland found, you resist, they're going to shoot you to death, and perhaps your family as well. So, again, it's something which seems familiar to a banana republic, but not to our system of government. Tom Cruise started a movie called Minority Report, in which he had future crimes and arrested and perhaps killed people as a policeman based on the crimes he thought they were going to commit in the future.
That's exactly what this is.
People who have no record of predicting accurately who's going to be a criminal and who's not. As a matter of fact, red flag states are among the more dangerous in the country, are all of a sudden given the authority to order the police to raid your house and confiscate your property.
Yeah, think about that, folks. No requirement for any crime to have been committed. No requirement that you have threatened somebody, that you're going to, you know, use a gun to do harm to somebody. It just based upon the thought or feeling, and a judge can issue such an order, and then comes a raid. Michael, we understand that you have, at Gun Owners of America, have just filed a class action lawsuit against City of Philadelphia. What's going on?
Well, basically, not surprisingly, when people in Philadelphia found out that, first of all, there were rioters coming down their streets with torches, and secondly, that the police had announced they couldn't defend them, all of a sudden people who didn't particularly like the Second Amendment in the past decided that they were going to have to buy guns. And massive numbers of people nationwide have bought guns for the first time. 1.2 million checks in a single week. 1.2 million guns bought in a single week, and this has gone on more or less like that for 52 weeks. So now, according to even the liberal newspapers, perhaps 38% of all American households now own guns. So lo and behold, these people who hated guns, who fought against the Second Amendment for their lives, decided that they had to own a gun if their home wasn't going to be burned down and their family killed. So they go into their local neighborhood gun store. And Philadelphia, under Pennsylvania law, has a law that says in order to get certain guns, you have to have the approval of the city and the police. And furthermore, Pennsylvania law says that decision has to come within 30 to 45 days. It has to be made very quickly. You can't be left hanging for a year. So the city of Philadelphia said, okay, we'll set up appointments to consider your application, but the first appointment available now is in 2022.
Oh, my.
So if you see rioters coming down and you hear the police can't protect you, guess what? You're going to die. Your family's going to die. Your house is going to be burnt down because we hate guns so much we are going to violate Pennsylvania law and not even consider your application to own a gun for over a year.
It's amazing. Or you ask the protesters, the rioters, hey, can you wait until 2022?
Yeah, can you hold off with those torches? Can you not kill my family until I've had an opportunity to repent for my hatred of the Second Amendment? And the funny thing is, and I say funny in a very, very perverse way, many of these anti-gunners who decide they need guns now are outraged when they find the obstacles to firearms ownership that they themselves had supported.
So is this, did you file this in state court or federal court?
Well, we're going to try to go up to the Third Circuit, but it remains to be seen exactly how receptive those courts will be.
Yep.
The Third Circuit is not very good. The Supreme Court is now a pro-gun majority. So if we can get these cases all the way up to the highest tribunal, then I think we win. And we win on everything. And, you know, Clarence Thomas has always been very pro-gun, as has Samuel Alito. But let me tell you, there are very few advantages to being very old, but that one of them is in 1985 and 86, I managed the McClure Votemer Firearms Owners Protection Act for Senator McClure as a Senate staffer and wrote a lot of that statute. Both Barrett and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh had all interpreted language I wrote. It was tough language. It was a tough question, and they all interpreted the language to mean what I intended it to mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a personal reason to believe that those three who are sort of untested on the Supreme Court are going to be pretty good.
Let's go from Philadelphia to, let's go out west, San Jose, California. I understand the mayor there has been calling on the city council to impose new annual fees, mandatory insurance requirements on legal gun owners. Take it away.
Yeah, there's no state that's more anti-gun than California, and it has red flag laws, universal background checks, semi-auto bans, and the only thing that its gun ban has done is say to a guy who wants to shoot up a community center in San Bernardino, or in the case you cited, a BART station in San Jose, it tells this mass killer he can shoot up the place, and there's no one who's going to be able to fire back.
We're going to come back to San Jose after the break. Michael Hammond with us today, gunowners.org, the website, and he is Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk, and we'll give you some time a little bit later in the program to ask some questions as well. Stay with us here on the VCY America Network.
The film, Unidentified, tells the story of two reporters tasked with getting the answers to the claims of UFO sightings. One reporter is an antagonist toward Christianity, the other, a Christian who is challenged on his beliefs.
I'm asking an honest question here, and according to the guru, the Bible says you have to receive Jesus in your life, so either you've done it or you haven't, so which is it, heaven or hell? Come on, Keith, heaven or hell? Answer the question, heaven or hell?
I don't know.
And I thought you were supposed to be a Christian.
Be challenged by the Rich Cristiano film, Unidentified. Available on DVD for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Additional copies to the same address are available for a donation of just $8 more. For your copies of Unidentified, call 1-800-729-9829.
The Second Amendment is being targeted. Michael Hammond with us today from Gun Owners of America. And Mike, we'll talk about San Jose, California. I mean, yeah. We've got some pretty onerous things coming down from the mayor there. I mean, as far as his pushing the city council.
Well, it's funny thing that however unsuccessful gun control is, it never seems to stop people from thinking the solution is more gun control.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, San Jose, the rapid transit station that the disgruntled former employee apparently shot up, had more gun control than virtually any place in the country. It not only didn't stop it, it encouraged the shooter to think that he could get his 15 minutes of fame, that he could air his grievances, and that no civilian would be present to legally fire back. There's no coincidence that if you look at recent killings, and you get them on NPR like every day, there's 6 new mass shootings in this country. Mm-hmm. Oh, where are the mass shootings? There's San Jose, there's Chicago, there are places where gun control has been tried and failed.
You mentioned Chicago, and I just saw an article that through June 14th, this week here, there have been 1,587 shootings in Chicago this year. Nearly 10 people are shot every single day.
Yeah.
And yet people say if we only would ban guns, we'd never see this happen. But they've got some pretty tough gun control there.
They completely ban guns. Most recent one I saw in Chicago, one person got killed. I think 6 people got injured. And it's an evidence that gun control not only doesn't save people, it kills people. New York, I was just reading today, I think in the New York Post, that 6 new shootings over the weekend in New York. These are places which actually were relatively safe prior to 1968. Then they passed national gun control, and they also had the drug epidemic at the same time, and they all exploded into shooting galleries.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of deaths each year in each of the major cities. And now, lo and behold, the left has issued a proclamation that the police need to be defunded and that we need social workers to go out to shooting scenes. Lo and behold, we are seeing a resurgence of the very large number of mass murders that we saw prior to the Gun Control Act of 1994, which began to put recidivist criminals in prison for long periods of time. Now they're letting them out, and they're not surprisingly to anyone but the policymakers, the criminals, now that they're out in the streets, are doing the same thing they did before.
And I look at San Francisco, Michael, it's completely out of control right now. You have a DA that's not prosecuting for these shoplifting crimes, and you've got people that are going into the Walgreens and CVS stores and others that are just taking bags and just loading them up and walking right out. I saw a guy who took a bicycle into a drugstore the other day on video and he filled his bag up and rode his bike down the aisle and out the door.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. Well, I mean, that happened all summer in 144 different cities in this country, and, you know, lest anyone think that people were rioting on principle, there was certainly a lot of loot that ended up going down the street. So if you don't allow people to defend themselves and their businesses, if you don't allow the police to defend people and their businesses. I mean, what do you expect is
going
to happen?
Right, right. I want to hit just a couple or three quick issues going on in states right now, then we'll open phone lines. Number one, California, significant ruling from a federal judge there.
A federal judge in Southern California has found that California's semi-auto ban, a ban of, like I say, a gun, one of the most popular guns in America is the AR-15, probably 15 million of them in all. The California's banned them for 29 years now. The judge ruled that that was a 29-year experiment in failure and declared it unconstitutional. A lot of his information, a lot of his data that he used came from one of the top criminologists in the country, John Lott, formerly of Yale, who has looked at these gun laws and decided, well, for instance, the red flag law found that in states that have red flag laws, and there are 19 of them, murder rate is at least as high as it is in other states, and probably higher, that the suicide rate is at least as high, notwithstanding the gun control red flag law, and crime of all types is just as high, with one exception. It turns out that in red flag states, for some reason or another, there are more rapes.
My. State number two, Texas, just passed legislation that they could carry handguns without a permit.
Yeah, it's the 21st constitutional carry state in the country. The Gun Owners of America has been at the center of that. Vermont has always allowed people to carry without a permit. The first new state was Alaska. This was back 20 or 30 years ago. And you remember when we tried to get people to be able to carry carry guns in Alaska, of all places, without a permit, all of the liberals came in and said, if you do this, Alaska is going to turn into the wild, wild west. as if it's some insult at Alaska.
Yeah.
Well, lo and behold, now 21 states have them. They're the safest states in the country, by and large. Places like North and South Dakota, New Hampshire, where I'm currently sitting, you're actually more likely to be killed by a bear walking down the street in New Hampshire than you are to be killed by a firearm from a stranger. Mm. And I'm not denigrating the dangerousness of bears, but these are the states with constitutional carry, the states that allow you to carry without the government's permission, are the safest in the country, notwithstanding they're free. The states that do nothing but gun control, Maryland with Baltimore, Illinois with Chicago, California with just about everything, and New York with New York, are shooting galleries. They're rivers of blood.
Mm. Last state here I'm going to bring up here is Missouri. I mean, just this past weekend, they enacted legislation called the Second Amendment Preservation Act, declaring Missouri to be a Second Amendment sanctuary state.
Yeah, I'm happy about it. I drafted the prototype for that now over half of the states, counties, towns, or jurisdictions in America have adopted. And so we now have 50% of American jurisdictions that have adopted these Second Amendment sanctuary bills. And what they say is that, you know, Joe Biden can do what he wants to. He can ban semi-automatics. He can order raids in the middle of the night on your house and confiscation of your property. He can collect a national gun registry. Guess what? He's going to have to do that with his own police because these localities aren't going to help him.
Michael Hammond with us today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your questions or brief comments today for Michael, 800-733-9829. How can people stay engaged with this issue, Michael?
Well, they can contact us at gunowners.org. That's gunowners, G-U-N-O-W-N-E-R-S, period, O-R-G.
and gunowners.org. Folks, you can be in contact with them. We have some open lines here today. If you'd like to ask Michael a question about where things stand now and on these issues, or comment on Second Amendment-related issues, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Are you finding the attack intensifying, staying the same, or lessening? Michael?
Hi.
I said, are you finding the attack against the Second Amendment intensifying, holding the same, or lessening?
I think that Joe Biden hates the Second Amendment a lot more than even Barack Obama did, and that is saying quite a lot.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines here. Again, we have a couple open lines, 800-733-9829, Phoenix, Arizona. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi. To his list of states with red flag laws, I would like him to consider adding Arizona. I know that our legislature has never made a red flag law in the last few years. It's actually fought against it. But our state Supreme Court about 10, 15 years ago made a rule of procedure that is a red flag law for injunctions against harassment. Hmm. So I'd like him to look into that and just consider that.
Thank you very much. I know that we fought very hard. One of your big legislative leaders who is running for Congress as a pro-gun conservative had introduced that legislation and in Arizona, and we went after it very vigorously, and ultimately his response was, I just introduced it so I could kill it.
Interesting.
That gives me my...
All right, well, the Supreme Court has made up its own law, so beware of that.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. Gary in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Hey, Gary.
Yes, how do you see the gun laws in Kentucky, and where do they rank among the country's gun laws?
By and large, Kentucky is a pretty pro-gun state. You know, in the past, your Democratic governor has been an impediment to doing the sorts of pro-gun stuff that a lot of other states are doing. You do have a pro-gun legislature, and so I'm hopeful that. I'm hopeful as the state moves from a pro-gun governor or anti-gun Democrat governor to hopefully a pro-gun Republican at some time in the near future that Kentucky will reassert itself as a state that loves the Constitution, loves the Second Amendment.
Hmm. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Joe in Upper Michigan, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi, Jim. Hey, a comment or a question on the, you know, the Second Amendment says we have the right to bear arms, carry a firearm, and, you know, they came out with concealed and carry permits, but the Constitution, the Second Amendment, doesn't say that we can't put it in our pocket or conceal it.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. And incidentally, that case is just about to come up before the Supreme Court. The New York Rifle and Pistol Association is suing to challenge New York. Now, in fairness, they not only issue a pistol permit, but also New York has a practice of only giving them to the rich and famous. So we've challenged that. I think the Supreme Court is about to tear that statute in half. Exactly what the ramifications will be for other types of permit states is not clear. Hmm. The Supreme Court has said to brief narrowly, but I think there's going to be rapid movement on the concept of having to have a permit to carry.
So that, I guess, answers my question. The Second Amendment, we could put it in our pocket, we could put it in our shoe, we could put it anywhere without needing a permit.
Without
correct?
Getting the government's approval, yeah. That 21 states have established constitutional carry already, but I think those states which are, particularly those which say that you have to have a permit and we're not giving them to everyone, I think those laws are in danger.
Thank you, Joe, for the call. We've got to take a break. Mike Hammond with us here today on Crosstalk. We'll be back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a case brought by a men's group claiming that the National Selective Service registration for men is discriminatory because it doesn't also apply to women. The Supreme Court refused to hear the case, and Justice Sotomayor said that she was glad the Supreme Court did not hear the case because she said Congress may very well soon be making a ruling related to women having to sign up for selective service. Well, of course they are going to make that ruling because we've been warning about that for years, particularly after a commission was established by John McCain and President Barack Hussein Obama in 2017. In 2018, I began to warn extensively about this national commission. Well, their report came out in March of 2020. Well, here we are now in June of 2021. And you can bet Congress is going to make women sign up for the selective service, just as Justice Sotomayor said Congress would probably do. Well, we warned you, and this is the feminization of our U.S. military.
Guest today, Michael Hammond from Gun Owners of America, their website, gunowners.org. We're going right back to the phone lines here. Robert in Crittenden, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Hi, Robert.
Yes, you had mentioned something about Biden. He would have to get his own police to enforce the laws that he creates. I was wondering if in those states, can you call the local police and they come to your aid?
There have been some laws which have been passed, and some laws that I've drafted that haven't been passed. The Sheriff First laws, saying that it is illegal for a federal official to enforce an unconstitutional gun law, and that that illegality is enforced by the local police. By and large, we haven't had a lot of success in getting those laws either passed or upheld. So we're right now, the thing we're hoping on is that the local states will, it is like Andrew Jackson said to Chief Justice Marshall. Chief Justice Marshall has made his opinion, now let him enforce it. And I think the most we can probably expect in the near distant future is that, A, the courts will issue good decisions, and B, the states will say if Biden wants to trample over the Second Amendment, he's going to have to do it by himself.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Robert. Bill is next in Sarasota, Florida. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
There is something that I would like to just make an expression about.
Yes.
The Second Amendment was America's first homeland security.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you heard the news out of the White House this morning, they're not going to set up a nativity scene for Christmas this year because they had difficulty finding three wise men.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Let's go to Beth in West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I have two quick questions. One, regarding gun clubs, are you getting any kind of support from gun clubs? Because I know our particular one, I don't hear anything regarding them advocating for gun rights or anything like that, although they do have a friendship with the local police department that they host different events for them. Secondly, the other question is, if our gun rights are starting to be taken away, what's going to happen with these gun clubs?
Yeah, we now have a staffer, Kaylee, whose function is to go around, travel the country state by state, go around to gun clubs and try to enlist gun clubs, gun manufacturers, and organizations like that to support GOA. So we're making an effort in that direction. I should also say that, and I think Wisconsin was among these states, that when the pandemic began, a lot of these governors tried to close gun clubs, shooting ranges, in addition to closing gun stores. We wrote to a large number of these governors and said to them, if you close this gun club, you're going to get a lawsuit. And fortunately, Donald Trump helped us by declaring gun clubs, gun stores as essential activities. So, yeah, we're aware of that. We're working on it. I don't know where we can do this. If you want to leave the name of your gun club with the station, then I'm sure we can pass it on and try to have people get a hold of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you for all your hard work. We appreciate it so very much.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
We've got Gary in Ironwood, Michigan. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary.
Gary, you're on the air. Okay.
Gary?
Let's go to Dot then in Washington State. Dot, you are on the air.
Hi, Dot.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a curiosity question.
Yes.
I recently moved up here from Nevada.
Well, that's out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, your question,
more or
Dot.
Less.
Mm-hmm.
What are the laws regarding gun ownership up here?
Well, they're very nasty, and they've been made more nasty by recent referenda put to the people. Washington is trying very hard to mandate conditions of storage firearms. So if you want to, as my brother did, my brother saved his life because when a drug dealer stood over his bed at 3 a.m., he had a loaded gun in his nightstand. If you want to do that in the state of Washington, you face a very serious possibility that you're going to have civil liability and even prison time. So Washington is not a pro-gun state. It's become massively less so in the last 10 years. I'm not saying Idaho isn't becoming an anti-gun state, but I think you need to face the possibility that there will be a lot of restrictions on your Second Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like I need to go back to Nevada.
Well, Nevada is not perfect, but it's probably a little better than Washington State.
Mm. Thank you, Dot. Thank you for
Thank
the call
you.
Here today. It's all the time we're going to have time for calls here today. We have just 90 seconds left. You have on gunowners.org on your website an opportunity for people to receive email alerts. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I write a lot of those email alerts. Certainly our other staff does as well. If you log on, and you don't have to pay us a penny for this, we'd like for people to pay a relatively modest $20 or $25 to join our organization. But even if you don't want to, even if you don't have the money to, sign up for these email alerts. We will, when something happens nationally or in your area, we'll send you notification of it, and we'll send you draft letters that you can send your Congress critters express your opinion.
That's gunowners.org, and right at the top right of the page, you'll find that information, as well as news and updates in the center of the page, such as you've got a section there about contacting senators in regard to Chipman for ATF director.
Yes. And that's pretty important. If he gets in, he's certainly going to try to tread over the Constitution, and it will be we'll have more fights than we would otherwise.
And folks, your senators can be reached at 202-224-3121. Again, Michael Hammond, our guest here today, Gun Owners of America. Their website, gunowners.org. And Mike, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And friends, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk as we address issues you're not going to get from national public radio by any means, but certainly to bring you news and to share a conservative Christian perspective on it as well. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.